So we left with some problems. I guess the first problem is, what's the logic of ordering the Masechta based upon the Seder Hayom? Right? What's that logic? Then what's the this idea of Chaviv, that it's Chaviv to him, this Mishnah, and therefore he somehow bypassed the ordinary order? Right? Then what's the logic for this order of a Ragil? Right, of the Ragil? That which is common. And then what's this idea of how does it work out with the Melacha Geruah? Right? As, if a guy knows about outside, he knows about outside. If he doesn't know about outside, he doesn't know about anything. Right? Okay. Those are the problems, essentially. Right? So I guess let's start with the first problem. What's this whole idea of ordering it based upon Seder Hayom? Okay? I mean, there is a certain natural appeal to the idea, but you know, it could explain the phenomenon. I would say like this. That kind of a different idea, but it's basically one idea, like for most of the Tosfos, is that in Mishnayos, I mean, this is something to know about, but in Mishnayos, the big thing in the Mishnayos was they memorized Mishnayos, you know? That's why they're very brief. Oftentimes you read a Mishnah and you read the Gemara explaining the Mishnah, you're like, how are you supposed to get that from the Mishnah, you know? It's like the Mishnayos are very brief. And they're written in ways, like mnemonics kind of things like that, like with short ways that encompass the idea, and you could have a few words, and a chacham knows how to break it apart, analyze it. Well, can't be talking about this case, can't be talking about that, it must be talking about this case, you know? And if it would have given you the whole case, it would have, you know, it would be much, much longer. You know what I mean? But sometimes, like, by writing in shorthand, then, yeah, Tom Chacham knows how to take it apart, and you can really, you know, write in a way that's easy to memorize and derivable. All the derivable. You know? So essentially, there's a main thing, a major factor in the organization of Mishnayos and the writing of Mishnayos is the memorization. Okay, that's basically it. So they wrote them in a way that they lend themselves to be memorized. Okay? Because they used to carry them around with them. I mean, they used to just memorize them. Before it was written down, they used to have them. But the whole thing, the nature of the thing, was people would know them. That was the, you know, that was the Rosh Baal Pat. So the thing is that, so I think in one thing in memorizing the Mishnayos is if you write it in the order of the Seder Hayom, it makes it much easier to memorize. This is a natural, logical order. You say what's first. You want to remember Masechta Shabbos. It's very easy. I remember I had a friend who used to do that. He used to memorize the Gemaras. He used to Rabbi Yeah. He used to memorize. He memorized things a lot. He memorized Gemaras. He just into memorizing things. But he always did is he worked out a logical order. It's always a logical order. And if you remember the logical order, you have like the structure of it. Then you can memorize it. Like you have to work out the system. So if there's a good system, it's a Seder Hayom. So it's very easy. You know, the first parak, you start off with the Erev Shabbos things. Then the second parak is about Malik and the kind of things like right before Shabbos. Then the things on the border of Shabbos. Then the Malachos. Then, you know, when you remember the basic order of Yuma. So what you think? At first you have 7 days before. And it lends itself to basically a guy could really have a good hold on the whole Masechta by following that kind of an order. Because it's chronological. You know, I mean, conceptual order, guys are going to have to already be a big bucky in order to memorize it. And the memorization is going to go by a simple experiential phenomenon that it's very easy to remember. Okay? So that's why that's a normal, that's a good order in general. Okay? Fine. So far so good?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Different kind of, yeah, okay.
One thing
though. Yeah, I know. I was thinking you had to say that. Okay, so that's that. Now the thing is like this. There's another thing in memorization. Okay? And I'd say that is that the first thing sticks. Okay? And differently than everything else. Okay? If you think back, probably the different sugis you've done, it's a good chance you remember the first part of the thing, you know? Like, so when you start a Masechta, whenever you start, if you think back to things you've learned, it's like the first thing is the most pronounced, you know? Like, that's when you're first getting started in the area. And then, like, that's just more memorable. Everything else, like, piles on. There are a lot of things. But the first thing, that's the only thing. So somehow that's more pronounced in a person's mind, the first thing they do. Okay, first thing you learn. Okay, so therefore what? Okay, so that's one step. Now, another step is like this, is that I would say that this Mishnah is the ultimate Mishnah. Okay? Why? See, because the objective of Mishnayos is to teach you many ideas, many concepts, in a brief form. Okay? In a very brief form, in a memorizable, simple form. Now, Rabbi Yonasi did, or whoever designed this Mishnah, I don't know if it was it was a statement beforehand, but basically this case of the Ani and the Ashir contains in it, it's a very short, easy to memorize, it's simple. I mean, the whole Mishnah is very simple to memorize. It's a very practical case, it's very simple, you know, it's nothing complex, you know, it's symmetric. I mean, the whole thing, it's designed in a way that's very simple. And in it, it's in this little story of an Ani and an Ashir, you have all these halachas. Right? I mean, the wealth of halachas derived from one case. I mean, normally you have one case designed for one halacha. Maybe two halachas, you derive, you know what I mean? And the Mishnah has different parts. This part, that part. Here, it's like there's one story, the Ani and the Ashir, and the basic halachas contain in it all these ideas. Okay? So, you know, so you realize that this is the greatest Mishnah, you know? It's the greatest Mishnah. It teaches you so many halachas. And since in memorization, the first thing you do is going to be the most memorable, okay? So he held that it's appropriate to put this Mishnah first. Because it basically, if you can memorize something, you have to memorize this. Because from this Mishnah, you can have the most halachas. So you'll know so many things about Otzah, about the most halacha, a wealth of knowledge just from memorizing this. So if anything should stick in your memory to the greatest degree, it should be this Mishnah. You know what I mean? As you wanted, given that the first thing is most pronounced in your memory, he held that this Mishnah, which is actually ultimate Mishnah, and it contains so much information, so much knowledge about it, should be the first thing. So this way you'll have, you know, given that the memory gets weak, so you want to at least get, you know, make it most memorable. If you remember one thing, it should be that, so to speak, you know what I mean? Of course, you're not going to only remember one thing, but it should be the most memorable in your mind, you know? So, and then he went with the rest of the order. It's not going to mess up the Seder Ayon, because you know this is the first thing, you remember the first thing anyways, and then you know that it's going to go according to the Seder Ayon. So it's not going to take away from the memorability of, or whatever, of the rest of the Seder Ayon, that device, because you still could use it. You just know that first thing is this Mishnah, and then you go back and jump into the Seder Ayon. So it's not going to take it away, and you also accomplish this idea, you use your first thing for, you know, and when other Masechtas, I guess they don't have that kind of a thing. I mean, this Mishnah is, as I think it's saying, it's Chavivalei, is it assumed this Mishnah is more Chavivalei than any other one. I'm saying the reason why it was Chavivalei, it's not just that he liked it. He liked it because it typifies what Mishnayos are trying to do. And not just to show people what a Mishnah is trying to do, but they're, in terms of the purpose of the thing. It'll teach many halachas and people will remember all the halachas, so you'll know. I mean, you know so many things about Otzah just by knowing this one halacha. You know what I mean? Basically, a lot of the shaylas about Hatzah are contained implicitly in this Mishnah. You know? Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. That's the first answer. It's very interesting. It's clever the way the Tana, through this case, really packed in all these halachas. I mean, you don't usually have that. I mean, you usually have a case. Shoshana, you know, whatever. I mean, you have a case. You have a dispute. You have a case. You have Asha, you know. Something, and then you tell me the halacha. You have machlokas. You have a, you know. You don't just have so much stuff, like every detail here has another halacha to be derived from it. It's extraordinary. It's not, you know, it's not something that every mesechta has. I mean, I don't know what you have it in Shas. I don't know. I mean, he's saying this Mishnah is Chavivalei. So, I mean, Tosas is making the claim this is unique. You know, and I'd say just because, my answer basically is you don't just say that in Shabbat, in Pesachim, let's say, so you have, 50 Mishnayos. So you pick, let's say, one of them teaches four halachas, then a few of them teach three halachas, then two halachas, and then one halachas, so just go with the four. You know, it's not just a quantitative thing. I mean, in order to make the cut, to really put itself ahead, it has to really be like a qualitatively differentiated, you know? So I'm saying this Mishnah, he held is qualitatively differentiated and deserved to be put in front, you know? But otherwise, you'll just go with the normal thing. Okay, second answer is because that which is common. Okay? That which is common. And he says that's the way the Torah, the Mishnah always does it. It says, So, Dovar Ahova, Rogel Hashas Lashanos Tchila. So, I think that's the same idea. The same type of idea. That another style which Rabbi Nasi employs is that which is most common, he puts first. I think it's again going with the idea first. Okay? That the first thing is most memorable. So, he said, is the thing which is most common should be most memorable. I mean, that's another idea. A different idea, you know, which is that if you remember something, you should remember that, which is the most common, most frequent. That makes sense. I mean, what should be, if in the Arbavos and the Zikin, if one of them is much more common than all the other ones, so in general, if you want all the people who are knowing Mishnayos, who should at least be Bekim in something, should be in the one, which is the most common. I mean, if a person knows Arba, four people have to give a Sefer HaGomel, so the Memra, the first one, it stays with you, it's more memorable. So since that's the most common one, everyone will remember that part. People don't necessarily remember the whole list, but you remember the beginning of a list. You have a whole, you know. So the saying is that that's a style in Mishnayos, that when you have to pay, when you have to pick an order, that's another factor in the first thing. Okay, I guess you say the first thing is important, that's what I'm saying. In terms of memorization, the first thing is important. So you have the order, you have the general order of a thing, general order through which it goes throughout, which is this type of thing, you know, the Seder Hayom. But then there's another totally different type of a factor, which is the first. Yeah, which is the first thing. I mean, I don't know. I didn't check it out, but it could be like in second, third, and fourth. I don't know if they keep going in order of frequency, you know? But the saying is that the first thing is a total, is, so to speak, you apply a different type of criteria for, if possible, if it's shayach. But it's a different, there are, lend itself to different types of factors than the order that runs through the entire Masechta. You know what I mean? And again, it's not going to mess up the whole Masechta thing, because, you know, it's the first thing, and it's memorable. You know, and then, you know, get on track, then the rest is the track. So it's saying, the question is it because Hotzah is the most common thing, I guess, you know? He's saying that's very common. So he's saying, is Hotzah, this Mishnah, so the two answers are both the idea that the first thing should be Hotzah. He broke the order for the first thing. But the Hotzah, is it because Hotzah insofar as it's Talmud Torah aspect? So far as the concepts that he held that a person should, you know, remember as many concepts as possible? Or is it in terms of its practical utility? Okay, then the practical utility is a person should be most well-versed in that which is most common. Right? But they're both, I don't know if they're mutually exclusive. They're, you know, could be both to be true. I mean, Rabbi Yossi could have realized that they're both true. You know what I mean? Like, I think they're just two different dimensions to the thing, you know? I mean, I don't know if you have to say, like, what's the machlokas, which answer is true. Because I don't see, you know, they're both true. You know, I guess if you had a face-off between the two, I don't know, then you have to figure it out. But, they're both true. You know what I mean? Saying this Mishnah happens to be essential, you know, the best thing to remember because of its practical value and because of its conceptual value. And now the third answer, right? Third answer seems to be a different track, right? Third answer seems to be a different track. So again, what was the fact of this third answer? It's saying is, yeah, because it's a different type of answer. It's not saying what he wanted to have first. It's kind of different, factually, it's a different kind of an answer, you know? Saying, by the way, we answered why it is that this takes precedence, right? Why the because that's one of the kashas, is that on the one hand you have an order based upon the Seder Hayom, on the other hand you have the order based upon Ragil. So why do you choose here this, that, you know? What I'm saying is no, that they're two different orders. One is the order of the whole Masechta, and the other one is the order of the Tchila, the first thing. You know what I mean? The Ragil is the first thing. It doesn't just mean that you always, like, because it doesn't mean, I don't think, like, he doesn't trace how, like, a whole Masechta is organized based upon Regilas, you know? He's just saying it's like to you know? Right. First, like you see in that memra about four people have to give Hodah. The guy who comes from the sea, you know? It's not like a whole Masechta or a whole, you know what I mean? He's just saying is it sticks with the, I mean, it could be it could be there's also a sense to going in order. It could be in a secondary way, like the second thing is a little more memorable than the third, you know, but I think there's a primary idea, the first thing, you know. He doesn't have the whole Masechta ordered by Regilas. I don't think you have that. Like, the Seder Hayom thing works because you know the Seder Hayom. Like, Regilas isn't going to work, you know. Like I say, I'm going to remember this thing because follow the order, you know, it doesn't seem like that. Yeah, it's complicated, so it's not going to come to you like that. But that's just an order, but the first thing, and it doesn't take away from it, because again, like, you know, the first thing is most memorable, and then you jump into the order, so you can accomplish both. Okay. So now the third answer is this thing of, it says, not because they wanted it first, per se, really it could have been whenever, but the thing is, really it should have started, really, it's kind of going back to the original Hapmina, that really go with the Seder Hayom. really the Seder Hayom. And you want to start off with Erev Shabbos. But Erev Shabbos starts off with Lo Yitzeh Chayat. Okay? Which is, the tailor can't go with his needle because he may do Hotzah. So you say, wait a second, but you have to tell me what Hotzah is before you tell me this Seder about Hotzah. So he says, you don't have it by everything else? He says, yeah, because Hotzah is Malachi Gura. Okay? So that's what I mean. It's different than the other ones because it's really giving in to the first thing, which is that you go by the Seder Hayom. It's just that with the caveat that you can't do the Seder Hayom until you first take care of this problem of so what's up. You know what I mean? But the kasha we ask is, again, who's this for? Is it for a guy who's not a Talmud Chacham? Talmud Chacham knows what Hotzah is. He understands it's Malacha Gerua. He knows that it's the Malacha anyways. And for a guy who's not a Talmud Chacham, who's, he doesn't know anything. I mean, is that who we're writing Shnayis for? I mean, he doesn't know Bishal. He doesn't know, I mean, this is what you're telling him, that there's a Malacha of Hotzah. It's hard to imagine, like you're trying to say in Amoritz, he doesn't know anything about Hotzah, but he knows about Bishal, you know? I mean, why, how does that work? Right? That's the question. The problem is we don't know exactly what Malacha Gerua means. It's a little bit of a problem. But, anyways, I think we should be able, maybe we can proceed a little bit. Anyways, you know what I mean? And, we may have to come back a little bit and see if it works out. But, you know, in a basic way, like someone said yesterday, it's like, you don't really think that's a Malacha, you're not really doing anything, that kind of thing, you know? That's another, something funny I just noticed, is he says, and even though it doesn't say malabain because of the sending of things to the cleaners, and it doesn't say, you know, mavir because of hadmana, but hutzah hutzrich l'shanos tvei, shudim lach agroi. So he needed to say more. Tvei is a funny word.
Yeah.
Sounds like the other ones also he needed to say, but he didn't say the other one. So it's like, what do you mean it's more? Say hutzah hutzrich l'shanos. Lefishim lach agroa. I mean, tvei. Tvei sounds like as if the other ones also needed to, and it would have, but didn't quite want to do that. Otherwise, it would get lost. Sounds like that. Sounds like it's like really the other ones also could have mentioned. But I mean, after all, then you're going to start really messing up the whole Seder. You know, you're going to start getting into, you're going to end up doing all the Lama Tesh Malachas before the thing, and I can have the Seder. So it doesn't want to do that. But Hotzah, he's like, he really had to do it. I mean, even though you don't know the order, but Hotzah, you really got it. You just cannot do it. You know, but the other ones, whatever, we'll let it slide. Like, it sounds like that. The shot of it sounds like that, you know? Yeah, okay. I'm thinking along the lines of Gary's saying, is that I don't think it means like a guy is going to just be baffled and think, Hotzah, what's that? And he's just not going to, like, a guy's an Amoritz, he doesn't even know what Hotzah is, and he's just going to be confused, and he's just going to get stuck. I don't think we're talking about, like, I don't think it's like a practical concern that a guy couldn't know it. Because a lot of things in Mishnayos, I mean, you have to know different things to be able to talk about it, you know? Can't, like, the first, given the first Mishnah in Brachos, so I'm talking about, like, Hekter Chalavim at a different time. I mean, you don't know, you can't assume, Mishnayos aren't written assuming that you don't know anything. I mean, it's just not written that way. So I don't think it's assuming a guy doesn't know what's up. But I think he's talking about in terms of the logical order. There's a logic to a presentation. Okay? It's on the one hand, you could assume knowledge, but on the other hand, there's a logic to a presentation. Okay? There's an intrinsic order to present something. And certain things are okay to leave out because you assume, and certain things deserve being read. I mean, like, for instance, like an introduction, so to speak. You know, sometimes they have an introduction in a book. I mean, even if everyone in the book may know about the introduction, you know, but there's a natural way for knowledge to unfold and to present something. You know what I mean? So it could be the saying is that to talk about Bishol, you could assume that a guy knows what Bishol is. Okay? Because a guy, everyone knows that there's such a thing called Malacha on Shabbos. Everyone knows that. And Malacha means productivity. Everyone knows that's what Malacha means. And everyone understands, if you tell them that there's a Malacha of Bishol, you understand, my Bishol is productivity. Right? There's a certain appeal to the mind. The mind could readily accept that, and you could talk about details of Bishol without going into the Malacha's Bishol, because it's understood. I mean, it's true. I mean, you may not know every single thing about Bishol, but the mind grasps the idea that there's a malacha and Bishol is a malacha, and it's understood. I mean, again, you may not know all the details, but there's nothing wrong with that, and therefore it's okay if you have a reason to do this, it's okay to present a Darabanan based upon Bishul with the supposition that Bishul is Asa. Okay, it's understood that Bishul is Asa. There's nothing wrong in presenting it, assuming that piece of knowledge. Okay? But in the mind doesn't naturally understand the idea of Hotzah being Malacha. Because it's Malacha Geroa. Whatever that means. Whatever reason it is. But as if you tell a guy, well, Hotzah, you know, you're not allowed to, can't go out because maybe you'll do Hotzah. So, I mean, he may know the fact that there's such a thing called Hotzah, but what is Malacha's Hotzah? What kind of Malacha is that? Malacha, like, your mind just doesn't have any way to grasp the thing. You don't know what it is. It's not, I know what Malacha is, I know what Hotzah is, how is that Malacha? So, it's like, it's making like for a guy who's trying to learn the thing conceptually, it's making an undue demand, like an unrealistic demand on his mind to be able to go forward with the thing without elucidating Hotzah. What is Hotzah? You can't just assume the guy knows the thing. I mean, you can assume a guy knows Bishul because there's a certain sense to the thing. It's a sensible thing that Bishul is Malacha. It's true, you could talk about it, or maybe it would help the guy clarify the thing, but there is a certain sense that you could go, I'll go with you on that. You tell me Bishul Malacha, fine, I'll go with you on that. So you could present and you could talk about it, even though you don't really fully elucidate, but Malacha's Bishul, or Malacha's Kibas. But Otzah, it's not appropriate to discuss it as if this is perfectly normal, and now we're going to talk about Darabanan's based upon the thing. It's not perfectly normal. And it's not a logical method of presentation to talk about Darabanan of Hotzah, where it presupposes a framework of Hotzah, which is something which is unintelligible. It's not really intelligible until you talk about it and you take it up first, you know. So, yeah, a guy may know it, but that's not a logical way to write, to assume a guy is going to know a whole wealth of knowledge before the thing. You could assume a guy has certain pieces of knowledge, certain plausible working pieces of knowledge. He knows his malacha, he knows his cooking, but to assume that a guy understands something which is not really even reasonable, malacha garua, it really shouldn't be in. The only way you can even understand the malacha is by doing the sugya and by really understanding the sugya, being ma'ayan in the sugya. So you can't just write and pretend the guy knows it. His mind simply can't grasp the idea. I mean, he can't, without doing the sugya, you simply can't place it into your world, into your intellectual world. Your mind can't really grasp it. I mean, you could believe it. I mean, you can just believe it, but if you want to learn a sugya conceptually, belief isn't really going to help you understand the sugya. You know what I mean? You're going to have to at least, Bishul, I could believe that it's malacha, I understand it, it's reasonable, so I could deal with the derabbanans of Bishul without knowing all the derises and all the, you know. There's a tfei. I mean, it could have been helpful to mention the Bishul also. There is a certain idea that it would be nice to talk about Bishul, but we have an order here. There's an order for memorization, we have an order. So we're going to bypass the fact that it would be helpful to know about Bishul before I talked about the derabbanans. But you simply, in method of presentation, there are certain things that you just can't ignore. And it's not logical to leave out this big chiddush that the Torah posited of Malacha Hotzah, which in my mind, really, I don't look at it as Malacha. It's just leave out the elucidation of that and talk about it as if it's just a commonplace thing that you can just make reference to. You can't just make reference to it. That's my point. You can't just make reference. Oh, yeah, Hotzah is Malacha. Now just go with that. The person can't go with that. And therefore, it's not a logical way to write. That's my point. Because it's not so much that a Talmud Chacham knows how to turn to to the seventh parak and figure out and learn through the sugyas. But if he's going to have to do that, then just put it here. And then it's not the logical way to write it, is to put this first. I mean, you'll just, it's not because practically, it's because in terms of order of presentation, has to be an order which is reasonable to read the book in that way. I mean, it's to be reasonable. Now, you could reasonably assume a guy who, he may have to look up a halacha of Bishul's Aser. But to say he's going to have to go and learn the whole sugya over there first and really work it through in order to be able to even to deal with the thing, that's already then put it first. And it belongs first. You know what I mean? Just to repeat the answer to your other question, if you want, you can think. But just the other question, John asked, it's a good question, is, it's just a factual question. It's a good problem. Is that that the Mishnah, if you look at the Masechta, it starts with this Mishnah about Atzah. Then it has a Derabanan about eating and doing certain things, Samach L'Mencha. Not even on Shabbos, but I mean also on Shabbos, but not only on Shabbos. Then it has a Mishnah about Lo Yitzei Achaya, another Derabanan. Okay, and then it has these other Derabanans, you know? So really, if you, Tosfos is saying the whole, if, according to the first two answers, that you want this to be first, so then I understand why it's first. But if you're saying that it's only because of Lo Yitzei Achaya, so then really you should have first started with the thing about the thing of Samach L'Mencha, you know, that Mishnah, which is on Tass, I think, give or take, Chas, Tass. Then done this Hotzah thing, then Lo Yitzei Achaya. It should have been right before Lo Yitzei Achaya. That's really where it belongs, because you're saying it's a prerogative for Lo Yitzei Achaya. So it's a good question. But the only thing, I mean, maybe we'll see, the Ron brings up Lo Yitzei Achaya a little bit. But I'm just answering, I mean, there's lots of factors in ordering. I mean, I'm just saying, well, it could be that it is given that you have a deraisa of this Yitzias Shabbos, and then you have a whole list of derabanans, the Mincha, and then Lo Yitzei Achaya, and the Koves, and the Bamatonin. It's a big, a lot of derabanans, a whole list. So there's an idea in memorization especially, but just there's an idea of grouping things together. And also deraisa precedes derabanans in general, so to have it, to start with the one derabanan, then go to deraisa, then go another back to the derabanan, could be, even though the derisa is in the service of the second Darabanan, it could be Rabbi Yonatan just threw it over the first, you know? Maybe just threw it first, you know? And it could be maybe then also it's Chaviva, maybe there's other reasons. All, you know, it shows basically why it's around the beginning. Once it has to be, or once you're messing it up from the normal order, it has to be around the beginning, it's easier to explain why it was first and not second, you know what I mean? Just, it had to be before Le'etzei Chai, that's the main thing. It doesn't have to be directly before, it just has to, you know? So then already there are different types of factors. Could be it would have been funny to start Shabbos with a Mishnah about Mincha, which is not about Shabbos, really. I don't know. I mean, that's already an easier kind of a thing. I mean, but I'm not sure of the particular factual answer, but it's not so, I don't think it's so bothersome. Okay, so basically we're just going to do the facts now. For tomorrow we're going to try to take up the Ran, perhaps the Rambam. So the Ran's dealing with the same problem. It's the Ran on Daf Aleph, Amud Aleph. Okay, the Ran starts with Aleph, not base. Okay. Aleph Amud Aleph, Umakshu Hacha. Okay, the second Umakshu on the page. It says, Lama Hischil Tana B'Yitzios. Why did it start with Yitzios? Atana Mas Nisan, De Avos Malach Zabran Chasar Acha, the Tan Periklal Godol. Hi, little Mishnah. And as it should have started first, should have started before you start telling me Otzah, you should have told me the Mishnah about Talamitas Malachas. Right? V'ilu Hasam, Ketani Otzah Vesof, Bechi Akhtame Hacha. So then, and also, I think it's 2 points. First of all, it should have had the Mishnah of Talamitas Malachas first. And second of all, it's in the list there, it's the last malacha. And here you're just dealing with the first. Okay? I think there are two problems in there. So he says, Yeshlomar, the Tana boy will minka tzedur b'dvar ma'asurim b'erev Shabbos. So he wanted, the Tana wanted to start with the order. The same thing, this chronological thing. So the erev Shabbos, u'basar achli b'Shabbos atzma, then Shabbos itself, the Tana lo yitzei achayet b'machato, samach ha'sheicha, right? Because the machat is before samach ha'sheicha. It's even closer because it's candle lighting. It's like right at the break. Because Admona, you're allowed to do even at Ben Hashmashos. So that's even later in the day when the Admona kicks in. Then it's the rules about the day itself. So this is like the third answer. Since it had to say Lo Yitzei Achaya, it had to first say that Hotzah is Aser. The Mishum Lasa Didea Hu Degazrinan Erev Shabbos Imshchashecha. Lasa means it's like connected. It's like great. It's related to. Comes under its scope. The scope of Hotzah that where it goes there on Erev Shabbos, you know, Samach Hashecha, Im Chashecha, right? Okay. Ve'af al pishnei is me bothered. Same problem. I mean, same problem that Tosfos faces. What about everything else? Ve'af al pishnei leikar lo haner. You can't read by the candle. Ve'in shor and dio. You can't soak the ink. Ve'lo hikdin l'shanas avos machashalahan. Didn't list there of malachos, right? Same problem. Hanahu agav gurara de lo yetze hachayat b'machato naktenu. Those, all those other derabbanans were really dragged along together with lo this iser of lo yetze hachayat, that the tailor can't go out of his needle. Lomar shekeshem shegozu shelo yetze hachayat, to tell you, just like they gozer that the chayat can't go out with his needle, kach gozer b'hem, so too, there are all these other gezeros. Okay? V'ayinu nami sheskel shanos lo yishev adam fnei sapor samach l'mincha. That's why also it throws in this halacha, you can't get a haircut at close to mincha. Af al pi sheinu misur shavos klal. Okay, even though it's not even about Shabbos. It's not a Shabbos iser. L'fi shehu yosem v'od yom. V'samach l'ni, that's yachay b'machadam. Because that's even more during the day, and it's close. It's close to this thing of Leitzei Chayot. The thing is that, sounds like he's saying is, the pshat, I mean, it sounds like that Leitzei Chayot is really the main thing. That's really the main thing. The Mishnah really, Rabbi Yossi wanted to teach you this one halacha. Leitzei Chayot Machta. That the tailor can't go out of his needle. And since it's teaching you that, it's basically saying, hey, not only is there this gezerah, there are lots of gezerahs. Okay? And it's ordering them in the order of the day. So that's why it's throwing in the regular during the week that he can't do things before mincha, and throws in a whole list of all kinds of gezeros, all centered around lo yetzechai b'machato. And you can't talk about lo yetzechai b'machato without talking about the deraisa of it, which is otzah. So therefore, you don't talk about the other deraisas, because the other deraisas, the other derabbanans are only thrown in because of lo yetzechai. So therefore, that's the primary thing. So they just throw it in. But lo yetzechai, which is the main thing that he's trying to teach, that it has to say it's deraisa. Very hard to understand, though. I mean, what's so special about Lo Yetzechayot? How did Lo Yetzechayot get such an elevated status here, you know? I mean, I thought he was trying to teach you the whole order of the day. Now it's like, that's the one thing. I mean, a lot of things in Erev Shabbos. I mean, that's not the only thing in Erev Shabbos. So it kind of begs the question, why is that, you know, why is that the one... How did that become the wonder of one thing he wants to teach in the whole parak? That's the only thing. A lot of things here. Man, it sounds like a bad answer. So it sounds like, you know, it sounds like it's an afachu. You know, he says there's a whole list of things. He's just picking one thing out of the whole list, and saying that's the one thing he wanted to teach us. It's strange. It's very strange. Right? And still, so he's saying, teach me that thing. So you have to say it's deraisa. But the other things are just being thrown in. We're not really interested in teaching them per se. Just saying, just like, yeah, those gezeros, so this gezeros. It's wacky. It's very difficult around. And he's not going, he apparently doesn't like this malacha grew of it, you know? He's not interested in that. And he has to give this whole other answer. So that's difficult, right? I mean, it's very difficult. Yeah. So it's fine. So now I'll just read you from the, so that's the Ram. We'll try to take that up. And now there's the Ram Perish Mishnayos. It's in the middle of, he has a long introduction, but I'm just going to read you the relevant part. I'm reading from the Kafach version. It says, Uma shehitzrichu lahaskel b'dinei hotzah mirashos lashos. Right, the fact that he had to start with this, v'af b'shi minu yibesofa vos malachos, kilomar hamotzi mirashos lashos, even though, really, it's on the end of the list. It's apparently, he's not bothered by the why this is in the first parak as opposed to the seventh parak. So it seems like he's just bothered by why it's doing Hotzah first on the list of Malachos is really the 39th. And then all of a sudden here, it becomes the first thing that you need to talk about. It says, Lefish Malachos u'mitzuya harbe. It's a very common Malacha. Uba nechshalam al harov. And people usually stumble on this Malacha the most. Mipnei she'enot tzricha kelem. Okay? Our Mishnah says klom, our gersa. But this one says kelem. Because it doesn't need kelem. Normal Malachos, you need kelem to accomplish. You need a plow, you need a, you know, the planting equipment, you need an oven. I mean, this thing, you really don't need anything. It's very easy to do. I mean, you don't have to be very sophisticated to violate Hotzah. So people stumble upon this very often. So therefore, it's very common. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi put it first. V'sheines elamdenu shehi malacha, also to teach us that it's a malacha. V'afal pishanira shein a malacha, even though it seems like it's not a malacha. V'fika hikdima, therefore it preceded it. L'chizo ka'inyan. Okay, to strengthen it. L'fisha hi midrasha asya. Because it comes out from a drash. It's not explicit. It's a little complicated there, right? I mean, it says, because it looks like it's not a malacha, therefore to strengthen it because it's from Drash. Is it because it's from Drash or because it looks like it's not a malacha? I mean, it's a little bit, it's kind of saying two things, but seemingly they're related. Okay? It sounds similar to this Machigurua thing. Okay? It sounds similar. Maybe it's the same thing. That's the question. And the first thing also sounds a little bit like the second answer to us about the Ragil. Question is, are these really the same thing? Is Ram the same world as Tosas, or is there something else going on here? I mean, well, basically, what's going on with Rama? Okay, what's his? What are his two answers? Okay, so the Ram, I think, is the more difficult problem. The Ram is just question like, what's his idea? What's his framework here? You know? Okay.